Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my God. Okay. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our soon coming King. I want to give a shout out to all of you today. I am so grateful that I have 3 new subscribers. Oh my goodness, I just got a message just came in. So I just want to say thank you for this 3 that has just came on board. And let's see, I did take a picture of the, so I can say hi to Dr. Williams and also to Nordish Productions. I'm sure I didn't pronounce it correctly, the Nordeshire, Nordeshire Productions, thank you. And also Exclusive City, thank you for subscribing, and also Chronicle Speaks. So 4 new subscribers, thank you. Oh my gosh, you guys are great. I just thank God for all the followers, all our viewers. We have a current viewership of 24,305,805. The numbers keep growing. I'm just like, it's crazy every day. So I just thank God for you. So let's pray. I hope that you all enjoyed your holiday, the Good Friday, the Resurrection Sunday, as well as Resurrection Monday, and I'm going to call today Resurrection Tuesday. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for the blessings of Abraham and the blessings that you give unto us through your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, because it was for me who he died, as he died for this entire world, that the world may have the gift of life, life abundant life. And we thank God for each and every one that's a part of our network, a global community, all the countries, 59 countries that are viewing the broadcast, as well as the radio network, and listening to us as we launch our television. And, you know, I basically just need 12 people to really let our television go live 24/7, and we keep on growing. But we thank you, Father, for that, as that will come into fruition. Thank you, Lord God, for your word. I ask, Lord God, that you bless every family, every household, every creator, creative people, and everyone that have ideas. I thank you, Lord God, for their business. I pray, Lord God, that you bless them financially, Lord God, because everyone needs to pay bills, not only those that are in America, but all over the world, you know, in the global economy. All have many great concerns. We pray, Lord God, for the war that is there in Europe. We pray for every family, Lord God, those that have lost loved ones. We pray for them. And there's war and rumors of war. There's war all over the globe. There's some we don't hear about at all. But there are people that are hurting and dying for a cause. So we pray for them, Lord God, that those that have lost a loved one, we pray those that are in bereavement, we pray for them, that you'll heal them, Lord God. And thank you, Lord God, for all the leaders who are trying to do the right thing. And we thank you, Lord God, that we know that Russia has to stand down and that they will not win this battle. But we just thank God for the baby country, Ukraine, who's standing strong. We pray for the leaders of Ukraine. And we pray for the leaders of NATO and our government and the United States of America. We ask, Lord God, that you bless us, heal us as we move forward to hear from you this day through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so today I was reading in the New King James Version. It's this woman study Bible. I don't know if you can see that, woman study Bible. Anyway, it says woman study Bible, if you can see it. It's in the New King James Version. It was given to me for my birthday for my son, and I really, really appreciate it. It's, you know, it's just a new cover. I'm grateful. It's leather, man. It's NKJV, New King James Version. But anyway, I was reading, I just flipped the page, and I was reading about Esther. And, you know, Esther was just a beautiful woman that the Lord blessed for such a time as this. As you are a beautiful man, beautiful woman that God has blessed for such a time as this, and you are the queen for your era. But this woman, she sacrificed her life in a sense to go see her husband to ask for pardon and grace and forgiveness, you know, and to reverse the curse that was launched against the people, you know. And she risked her life, and her and her colleagues prayed and fast. Those that don't know about the story of Esther, very powerful how a woman can make a difference, how you can make a difference. See, when I read the Bible, you know, and I read the Old Testament, I love history, but it just brings back what we can do in the new century, in the century where we are, the gig economy. And, you know, we have many women that are Esthers, and they're married to their own kings, you know. And sometimes you have to, you know, speak up, you know, and this is what she did. And in speaking up, she could have lost her life, you know, because if the king was not pleased with her and didn't grant the scepter, you know, for her to, you know, speak, you know, they would have assassinated her, literally, you know, seriously. They didn't play back then as they do now. Women have a lot of privileges in America, and many women don't respect their man and whatever. But that's your king, you know. You need to honor him. I believe if you understand how powerful you are, and how great you are, if you take care of your man and your king that's right there in your presence, how much of a glory that the man will honor you, you know, and just be a blessing unto you, because that's what he's supposed to do. But anyway, the other text that I want to bring about today is I was reading in the scripture and I just flipped the page again. This one is from the family Bible that I have, and it's from the King James Version, and that was a pretty impressive word that came to me this morning. And it's kind of funny that I wanted to read this particular segment, and when I'm opening up the Bible, it's not before me as it was this morning. So I always, you know, just allow the Holy Spirit and God just to whatever he wants us to hear from his word. I may think of this is what I want to give, and I want to share this. But then the Lord himself will change everything. Amen. Those who understand spiritual things have experienced what I'm talking about. They came up with a plan. They worked on a subject all week to bring before the congregation, and then on Sunday morning they open their mouth, and God said he'll fill it with what he wants to be said. So we're just chosen vessels of God himself to speak to his people. And I do, I don't take it lightly, you know, that so many people listen to my voice, and so many people pay attention to what God's word says, not what I'm saying, what God's word says, and they use it for themselves. So anyway, I'm going to turn the Bible and see what the Lord has to say, because definitely things have definitely changed. So All right, here is Psalms 23, 23rd Psalm from the same thing, Bible. And my theme for today, you know, I thought I had lost four times, you know, my household goods were confiscated. The non-payment, they say, or, you know, you're late, you know, so they take the whole thing, they take all your stuff and sell it, right? And they don't take stuff that's no good. They always take stuff from people's stores that is very, very good. A great resale value. But anyway, yeah, I thought I lost everything. But then I found this Bible this morning, and I was looking at it, and in it had this a backdrop. It had, like, you know, I wrote some stuff. You know, I had my picture there, and I wrote in the Bible, and I laminated, and I wrote, you know, a little bit of history, my family history, and I wrote, this one was written September 22nd, it doesn't say the year, you know, I wrote a little bit about my father and my mother, and, you know, I had my children's history, my family history, and my grandmother, grandfather, and, you know, I wrote all this stuff, you know, in this Bible, and it was written, you know, so it's one of the things that was not confiscated. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And then I was reading, as I was reading through that little liturgy of, you know, brief history of my family, and my family is growing. I got new family now. There's a new king in my life. Thank God for my husband. King Rashi. I'm grateful because the Word of God is life. It's everything. You know, everything else, all these stuff may be gone. People take, steal, you know, do all kind of stuff to you. But if you have God's Word, it lasts forever. It lasts forever. Even if they literally take the book from you, it's within you. You know, so I was just realizing that I haven't lost anything. I've actually found many things through His Word and great people, you know, so I've only gained. I didn't lose. So that's my theme. You know, I thought that I had lost, but I realized that I actually gained. Okay, so the 23rd Psalm is written by King David. He was a child. You know, he had a father, but then he didn't have a father. Father hated him. Or whatever, I believe because of his complexion and his redhead, you know, that's the only thing I can conclude, you know, why this man loved all these other sons. I think they were probably lighter complexion, and David was a darker youth or something. So the father didn't like him, didn't recognize him. So he spent a lot of time with God, talking to God and seeking God and writing, you know, and singing songs, and him and his sheep, his crew for the sheep, okay? So Psalm 23, let's turn to it, from the King James Version, Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointing my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So when you're hearing Psalm 23 from the psalmist David, who became king of Israel, he spent so much time with God as a child, as a youth. And he meditated on God all the days of his life. That's all he had. He had a solid type of, he probably was like a quiet person. Whatever he, in his heart and in his
passion for God and loving the sheep, you know, as animals. You know, if you have an animal, you may not have a sheep, but say if you have a little dog or something, or some people like cats, some people like birds, some people like snakes. Okay. So it's all a plethora of animals that people like, or they may be into the plants, you know, or the trees and stuff. But just think of that, you know, the animal was so close to him, but yet he reverenced God. And God just really respected this human being, that he raised him to the highest pinnacle of success to lead a nation called Israel, God's people, right? And so it's just, he became captain over God's elect, over God's everything, God's army, you know? And he didn't ask to be put in that position, you know? He just loved God, you know? So it says that the Lord is my shepherd, you know? I remember when I went to Howard University, one of the treats that, as I was studying divinity, I was doing my, you know, I was in the military, going for the chaplain corps, you know, going to the combat stuff. But I was also attending the Howard University there. They used to be, the divinity school was on Taylor and Shepherd. You know, it's amazing. It's in Washington, D.C., but the street was called Shepherd, you know, so I became a shepherd. But David is saying that the Lord is my shepherd. So he said God, you know, the Lord, I talked to you about what the capital L-O-R-D is, one of the great names of God. It really means something, and you have to look back at one of my dissertation that talked about what L-O-R-D, capital L-R-D, it means something greater than just L-O-R-D, small letters, or capital L, small O, small R, small D. It has different meanings. So he emphasized in the scripture, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord is my shepherd. So that means, like him himself, you know, with the sheep, he was the shepherd of the sheep. So he cared for that little lamb, you know, or that ewe, or that ram, right? He cared for the sheep. So God, to David, he was like the little lamb, and God was holding him and caring for him, if you can understand that analogy. He said, I shall not want, because like when people have dogs, you see them in America, oh my gosh, they have people walking their dogs, or the dogs walking the people. It's just amazing if you look at it. Sometimes it's so funny, you know. And they have they have animals and clothes, and they have hats, and some have, you know, glasses. And some have shoes now, you know. They have an old wardrobe and stuff. But they're animals. They love their animals, you know. So this is how much care, as he's writing, as he's speaking to God, as he's praying, or singing, he's saying that he shall not want. He doesn't worry about anything. And we, as children of God, don't have to worry about anything if we put our trust in him. You know, and all our getting, you know, we have to get understanding. One of the things one of my sons had said to me when he was, I think he was 17, and he said, Mom, you just believe in the faith stuff. You know, it's like, I need money. I need real money. You just believe and trust all of this. And, you know, it's like, I got to go. I got to make money, you know. And he's very successful, very, very wealthy, a young man, you know, because he went after that that idea. I didn't say anything as he stomped out, you know. I just was like, you know, Father, go with him, you know. My angels go with him, you know. Because people do not understand the faith walk, that, you know, you trust in this entity that you can't see. You know, it's mind-blowing, you know, for people to understand God or the concept of God. David had a deep understanding about God because that's all he had. He had a natural mother. Now think about it. He had a family. He had a natural mother that he saw. We don't hear throughout the entire Bible anywhere what her name was. You know, David's father, natural father, disrespected her to the point that she's not recognized, as you see all these other women's names throughout the Bible. You know, that's like amazing, right? That the woman's name is not anywhere in the written book. We don't know who she is. But I know he was born of a mother, right? So he had to have a mother. But the man that, you know, this woman was just not recognized. And I know a lot of women are like that, have found themselves in that type of a situation. They have a child for a man, yet you have been put in a position of not being recognized, you know, for whatever. He's mad at you. Who knows, right? I don't know. But David's mother is nowhere, and he's the king of Israel. You know, he's grew to that height, but who is recognized in David's life is God alone. Because even his father, you know, we talk about his father, you know, we have the father's name and all the sons that he had and everything. David was the youngest son. But he didn't recognize David. The father did not recognize David. You know, because we saw the story when Samuel came, God sent Samuel, the priest, to anoint David king of Israel, right? And, you know, so later on in this text, but, you know, the father did not, when Samuel came to the community, you know, at that time, he was the circuit judge, and the father didn't even, you know, he sent all his sons before Samuel, so he's going to anoint him. But he said, is there anybody else? David was out in the sheep fold with all the sheep, and the sheep, if you know sheep, they're very smelly animals, I think, you know, and that's where he was, and Samuel called, I want that one, are we going to wait, everything's back. So David was one that was so close to God with the sheep, taking care of the sheep, in the place that was sent, that God honored this boy who was anointed to be king prior to any coronation service. There was nothing like that. It was God honored him because he spoke to God on a continuous, day and night, you know, because he was, you know, troubled, I would say, because his father didn't talk to him. His father didn't want anything to do with him. Didn't want anything to do with him because probably didn't want anything to do with the mother. I don't know. You know, you can just probably assume, you know, a boy growing up in that type of a environment, and that happens even now. You know, there's many young boys that have a father, but the father disrespects the mother, you know, but yet the father wants the son, but he doesn't want it. But yet then he rejects the son. Although he wants the son around, he don't want the son. Oh, it's just really amazing, right, to think about. But I know you can understand what I'm saying. Because of those things, I believe it's the reason why, that's the psyche, why David gravitated to God. He gravitated to an entity that he could not see. But he felt something. He felt a closeness to this entity, you know, God. We can, you know, like, you know, you men and women of God probably have that type of a feeling. You have a close relationship with God, but the family, rest of the family don't understand you or something, right? Because they don't really take that much time to spend with God, you know. He was a person that spent time with the Lord day and night in prayer, in speaking. And when he became king, these words were written. You know, because he didn't go out of school and stuff like that, you know, to learn how to read and write. I believe all the writings were done by his, you know, scribes, you know, as a king, you know. And so the words that he would sing and just was repeated over and over, he was able to, poems and all that, he was able to say it, and his scribe wrote it out. I'm just, the scribe's name is not said, allowing the scribe for David, no, because, you know, he's a worker for the king, right? But here in the written text, we're able to see the heart that David had for God. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So in greenness of pastures, if you look at the films, you see things on YouTube and TV and so forth, in the magazines, you can see how beautiful the green grass is. So you can think of someone laying in the grass in the pastures, and it's quiet. The environment is peaceful. The air is fresh and clean and pure. You have David thinking about that, prostrating himself in the area of the pastures. God allows you to lay in green pastures where it is healthy and it's clean. You don't have anything to worry about. So he said, I shall not want, and he making me lie down in green pastures where it's safe and comfortable. God lead me also beside the still and restful waters. They go to drink. The shepherd will lead the sheep to where the waters are. The shepherd also makes sure that there's no terror, you know, that the sheep will be able to be it, and he will offend and fight off any wolves, anything that will attack the sheep. Because the sheep, you know, they will, without a shepherd, they'll just go astray, just, you know, just go anywhere, just following anything, any doctrine, any thought, right? Any leader that will come along, say, I am, they'll go with that, they'll go with that. But when they see their shepherd, they know the shepherd's voice, you know? So the shepherd is there to protect. And so God is there to protect. And he's able to lead you. It says also that God restores my soul. Says he restores my soul. So that means when he's troubled or, you know, the Holy Spirit now does that for us today. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. When we are hurting, we're in pain. Like when I talk about my household goods being confiscated and stuff. For non-payment, so they say, right? For abandonment, which is a total lie. You know that. It's true. They try to take my Mercedes-Benz of my abandonment, and it's right in front of my parking and my where I live. You know, so people steal. You know, they lie. So my soul was troubled. My soul is the mind, right? So I was sad. And I was like, oh, my God, they took everything from me. But did I need those things? Right? But still I was troubled. So the Holy Spirit comes and he comforts me, you know, and saying it's going to be okay. And tears run down, and tears dry back up. Amen. Immediately, or God will send the wind to let the tears roll or dry off my face. The wind, when there's no, I'm not outdoors. The Holy Spirit will comfort me. He'll restore my soul. He will give me good things to remember. Like I was talking about this Bible, you know, seeing and remembering this Bible and seeing it and looking at the words that I wrote and looking at God's word, it just reminds me I have not lost anything. I'm only gained. God just removed all the stuff that I didn't need and now give me a larger place and move me to a new place for this dispensation of time. God will restore your soul. God will lead you in the path of righteousness. For his name's sake, all right, God will lead. David saying God has led him, you know, in paths of righteousness for God's name's sake. So God allowed him to be a loner, although he had, what, 10 brothers, something like that, 8 or 10, a lot of them. And they don't talk about his sisters, you know, back here in these times over 3,000 years ago. They really didn't honor the girls. I'm sure he probably has sisters, too. That's just an assumption, you know. Nevertheless, only the boys' name were written, all of his brothers and brethren. But he was forsaken by his father. We know that. We know that of a truth. And so it says that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So when a person is in that type of mindset of being depressed or oppressed and it's just doom and doom, you know, feeling bad about himself or whatever, he said that he'll fear no evil, whether somebody's coming at you, attacking you, harassing you, picking on you, whatever you're doing good on the job, but no matter what you do, they're always beating you down. Whatever, he said that. David said, I will fear no evil, no matter what entrapments or whatever snares, schemes, or scams that people try to do to him. He said he was not going to fear no evil, for God is with me. He said, God is with me, thou art with me. So he's talking to God. It's just him and God speaking. And so you can speak to God, too, with this text. See, everything that is written in the Word of God, you can apply it to your own self. It's just amazing how powerful God's Word is. That's why it's alive. It's alive. It's not like other written words and other textbooks, you know? Anyone and from every aspect and every religion can literally read this Word of God, and it becomes a part of them, right? Even the unbelievers read God's Word and apply it to their life. And they're very prosperous people. He's very wealthy people. They use God's Word to make money with, you know. They see the principles in it and say, oh, this makes sense. Let me use it. And the plan works. Amen. So God is not a respecter of persons. His Word, he'll stand by his Word, he'll back his Word, and nothing will drop to the ground. God's Word is amazing. And that's why, you know, everything I do, everything I put my hand on is successful. In your eyes, you may not think it's successful, but I'm telling you, over time, you see the success of the things that I've written down or I've spoken has come to pass. Amen. And the things that I've spoken even beyond my life will continue to come to pass. Come to fruition because I've seen it from my grandmother, all the things, all of her prayers and everything. I had never had need or want of anything because of the blessings that I received from my grandmother because I took care of her in the last 7 years of her life. She lived in my house, and I took care of her while I was running all off to Korea and things like that. I cared for my grandmother, and I had to trek back from Korea 3 times on leave because, you know, she was getting sick and because she was the one that raised me. Gray area, the Air Force allowed me to travel back to Arizona to see my grandmother. And because of that, even when she passed and they buried her there in Jamaica, West Indies, I was able to really feel the blessings that came from my grandmother because I had my cupboards were never empty, even to this day, you know. So the Word of God said the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. So I know all of my prayers, it will never fall to the ground. The prayers that I pray for my son, and my son's son, my son's wife, the love of my son's life, you know, children, friends, all of their families and extended family, I pray for all of my children. And because my son's children are my children, you know, and their friends that have children that they love, they're my children, okay? So I become a grandmother for everyone because I've adopted all. Abraham has adopted me because Jesus has adopted us. We're grafted and adopted, amen, to be the seed of Abraham. So my children's children, and their friends and their cousins are my cousins. Extended family. Those are my extended family. So my family is getting larger and larger and larger. So David is saying that thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. Why? The rod is when the shepherd has to go someplace, he'll put his rod down. He'll put his, you know, the rod is the stick that he carries as he walks. So he'll put it down because he knows that if he put his rod down and his staff down, the sheep are going to be there still in the pasture. They're not going to go anywhere because they see the staff is there. They may not see the physical person, the shepherd. The shepherd nowadays could be a female pastor, right? Or a male pastor. the shepherd can go off, but the sheep knows to be still because the rod is still there. Amen?
Amen.
And the staff is there. So they comfort. We have the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ, when he went into heaven and he had translated up, he said, before he left, he said that, you know, one of the things is, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He also said that, that he's going to go to a place and where many mansions and where he goes, you know, we can't come right now. But he said he's going to send a comforter. Comforter is the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God that lives and dwells inside of us. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, I am on Psalms 23, verse 5, it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Something came on the screen, and I was trying to read it, and it came and it popped and it went away. So that threw me. As I was talking about the comforter being the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is lives and dwells inside of us, and it comforts me when I'm thinking about my household goods being gone. You know, I lost that. I've heard it, but it, even in that hurt, you know, I even thank the storage facility guy. I thank him, you know, for calling me. They always call every month to make sure I make the payment. Things happen, life happened. I got busy taking care of other things. You know, it was like the suits have like blew me away. You know, it's like I had so much to do, and still some things still need to pay out, right? But in God's timing, they'll be taken care of, right? In God's time, and I don't worry about any. But that is my rendition of Psalms 23. You can take it, you can read it, you can glean on it. I'm going to go to Esther. I'm going to go into the book of Esther. I wanted to read that. Find it first. Where is Esther? Where is Esther? And I'm going to read that. I won't break it down, but you can see that Psalm 23rd Psalm also have relative and relationship to Esther. Okay, so Esther. Last chapter. I was reading. Okay. So, this is what I really like. I believe it was the 8th. And what I like is one of the things about Mordecai, which is Esther's uncle, that adopted her and raised her up to be that queen. I like how they honored him. He was like a person at the gate, faithful and an honest person, and didn't ask for anything, just being at the gate. When they put the robe, the king's robe and everything, and they honored him because he had remembered, the king had remembered that he had saved his life from some traitors that was trying to betray him and kill him. So we honored, we had the very man, Haman, that was trying to kill all the Jews. He had him to put the king's robe on him and the crown on him. What I like in the story is how Mordecai, even after all that honor and he, you know, being brought before the people and he had to bow down and all of that, he went right back to, after the celebration, he went right back to the gate, to sit at the gate. You know, this is humble, like nothing happened. It's amazing. That touched me. But let's read, I'm reading from the New King James Version. I'll read chapter 8. Then we'll end today's broadcast. found it in the King James Version. I haven't found it in the New King James Version. On a different page. I used to know that scriptures by verbatim, like Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. I'm reading from the King James Version because it's not happening here for me today. The New King James Version is acting up on me. It says, on that day, the king, Ahasuerus, give the house of Amon, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, and for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Amon. And it's something, that was a man that was mad at Mordecai because Mordecai refused to bow when he came. Everybody else bowed. And that's what started the whole problem. Mordecai basically was just keeping the word of God, which says that we shall not bow for anyone. Amen. So, you know, Haman was thinking it was like a personal thing. So he tried to kill all the Jews by having the king to write an edict that they would do it. And that's the story where Esther came into play. And then Mordecai had instructed Esther, and Esther then told the king, and then Haman got killed because of the plot against the Jews. All right, so now here we are after Haman has died and his whole household. Okay, we're in chapter 8. It says, verse 3 says, and Esther spake yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agite and his device that he devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seems right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letter devised by Haman, the son of Amedatha, the Haggite, on which he wrote to destroy the Jews which are in all the king's provinces. For now can I endure to see the evil, for how can I endure to see all the evil that shall come upon my people, or how I can endure to see the destruction of my kindred. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hung upon the gallows, because he had laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews, as it like you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring for the writing which is written in the king's name, and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Glory be to God. I feel like, you know, the Holy Spirit right then and quickening. Glory be to God. As it is written, it's just like, you know, that right there is like saying, now this is a natural man speaking of whatever is written, you know, in the king's name, his name. And when the seal, the ring seal, like we have a notary seal, and we have the seal of the church, right? Okay, we have the seal for the university, you know, all these things. But it's like when God says something, God's word is true in his life, and he's spoken it. And God himself has sealed it with his own hand with his own signature, his own ring, you know. So that's why the Holy Spirit was kind of, you know, I felt that. Bless his holy name. Oh, glory be to God. Amen. So whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. So he said to them, then where the king's scribe called at that time in the third month, that is the month of Sivan, and of the third, and on the 20th day, so the 23rd thereof, and it was written according to all Mordecai's commandments. He commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants and to the deputies and to the rulers of the province, which are from India unto Ethiopia, and 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. And he wrote in the king's Ashur's name and sealed it with the king's ring. And remember, he's doing this with the permission of the king. He's not doing it on his own, okay? So he reversed the curse. Mordecai wrote out in every language, basically. The king ruled over, you know, India. He ruled over Africa, right? It's a large amount of territories, right? It shows you how, Africa from India unto Ethiopia, right? That portion there, that on the eastern side, okay, of Africa, you know, the Horn of Africa. He ruled over all these 127 provinces. So when he wrote this, a lot of people there, they have the Persians, they have the Medes, they have the many languages. They have many, many languages. Even now, even in that same region, you have India, and even in Indian, that continent speaks many different languages. It's amazing. You know, you have Spanish, and the Spaniards, the Portuguese, Portugal. You have so many different languages, spoken languages. They had to write out all these different languages, and that the people can read as well as hear the what was written, what Mordecai wrote, to change the thing. Okay, so as we're reading here in verse number 9, I continue, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing, and according to their language. Verse 10, and he wrote in the king Ashur's name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent letters by post on horseback and riders on mules, on camels, young dominers. Dominers are smaller camels. Okay, wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy and to slay and to cause to perish all the power of the people and the province that which assaulted them, both little one and woman, and to take the spoils of them. Now, we can conclude, you know, how does this apply to us in today's dispensation of time? Well, it's just happening. We have Russia against Ukraine, you know, it's happening right now, right? This is Tuesday, Resurrection Tuesday, right? And April today is the 18th, right? Or is it the 19th? Hold on one second. Today, April the 19th, 2022. It's happening right now. And what is the smaller country, Ukraine, going to do against the big, gigantic Russia, right? Well, here's what God is saying, is that they're going to win the battle. This edict that was written is against, you know, all these provinces, you know, all this territory, right? We're going to come against these people, little people that were there, you know, workers or whatever, whatever capacity they were in, wealthy ones or lesser ones or middle ones, whatever. They were, Jews were totally to be annihilated, totally eliminated off the face of the earth. Man, I tell you, it was tension everywhere, man. People were sad, they were fasting and praying, they were sackcloth and ashes. They were like really afraid for their lives because they were going to die because of the big, 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 you know, conglomeration that was coming against them, right? Because of one man having the king, tricking the king to write an edict to eliminate them on this particular day. Say, so say it's the seventh month on the 23rd day of the seventh month in this year of our Lord, right? So here, God is speaking to those people of Ukraine. You know, I'm saying, okay? And don't worry, I got you. And you're going to win this battle. And now the word has been written in your favor. The word of God now is reversing that curse where you would have been annihilated. And yes, a lot of people have lost lives that were not soldiers or, you know, military people, just innocent civilians and children. A lot of people have been plummeted and raped and all kind of stuff. Kind of bad stuff has been happening in that country. They've lost land as far as the destruction and devastation of all these buildings and stuff. People fleeing and running for their lives. Every which way they're going, east, north, and west, south, to escape this terror, right? Well, God is saying that the word now is rewritten as Mordecai has written the word of God, that this edict is reversed and you have to go for your own life. To save your own life, this is the word of God. Don't just take this thing and lie down and die, okay? The enemy is coming at you. It's time now for you to take a stand. Amen? Stand for your life. That's God's word. And to destroy and to slay and to cause to perish all the power of the people and the province that would assault you, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. I mean, you're going to win. You're going to win. You're going to win your land. You're going to win your authority and your place and your position that you have been fighting for. So stay strong. The battle is yours. But the battle is not yours. It belongs to God. Amen? Because God will make an east wind come in. Yeah. And just terrify those people. And you don't have to lift, you know, a finger. Yeah, God will use the wind. The wind. The wind. And that will do it. You just have to stand strong and know that God is God. Verse 12, Esther chapter 8, verse 12 says, upon one day, in all the provinces of the king, Ahasuerus, namely, unto the 13th day and the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, the copy of the writings of the commandments to be given to every province, which was published unto all. So you take this message that I'm giving to you today and disseminate it to all the people on your cell phone, on your smartwatch. Amen. Everyone that's in America, disseminate it so it will get to those people in the provinces that know that they can win this battle. Amen? A copy of the writing for a commandment to be given to every provinces was published
unto all the people and to the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the post that rode upon the mules and the camels went out, being hastened and pressed commandment. And the decree was given at Shushan, the palace. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white and with a great crown of gold, glory be to God, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. That's what I'm wearing. I'm wearing purple, y'all. Glory. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. And the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever, so ever, the king's commandments and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness and a feast and a great day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, so the fear of the Jews fell on them. God bless the reading of the Holy Word. I've read in your hearing the edict of Esther, chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. May he give you peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. May we keep our mind and our heart stayed on him. God bless you all. I wanted to say one more thing. I was amazing. I was listening I was making a phone call yesterday, and the computer was, just really interjecting. The computer was saying this, and I couldn't get through because it's saying press 1, if you want, press 2, press 3, press 4. I was like getting so upset because the computer kept on, asking me, do you want this? And I was like, no, I don't want this. And then asking, do you want this? And I said, no, I don't want this. Talking to the computer, do you want this? No, I don't want this. Do you want this? No, I don't want this. And then I heard the computer ask again, do you want this? And then I heard, and I'm like, no, I don't want this. Then I heard the computer ask, do you want this? And I heard, and I said, no, I don't want this. Then I heard the computer say, do you want this? And I heard the voice say, when? And I was like, then that's what I'm saying today. It is the wind blowing from God himself that's going to help. You see? And it's just absolutely amazing. So I came home and I told my husband about what happened, and I said, I think I heard the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, I know I heard the Holy Spirit say, the wind shall win this, the wind shall win this, the wind shall win this. And my husband said, he laughed. And I'm like, today again, that was yesterday. Today again, as I'm reading God's word, God is saying it's the wind. I remember a section of the scripture that says, the wind and the wave shall obey his will. Peace be still. Peace be still. The wind got this. In Jesus' name. God bless you. I hope you got the read through the line, but the wind is either a great wind coming, it's just a wind. The wind got this, and therefore you win the battle from your enemy that's trying to destroy you. God bless you.